There's no place
I'd rather be. I'd rather be here than prison, that's for sure. By the grace of God. You know, preacher, I've had a lot of men since I've been preaching and traveling and all the things that I've had the opportunity to do. I've had a lot of people tell me, well, if I would go here and go there and do this and do that and get under this man and get under that man, my ministry would flourish. And it took me a couple years because I was young and I was fresh, but after a while I realized it ain't my ministry, Brother Tony. This is God's ministry. And I'm just thankful to be a part of it. Don't matter who I'm under, don't matter where I go, I'm in God's ministry. It's not Lucas Hickman Ministries, it's not, Charles Lawson, it's the Church of the Living God. And I thank God for a church that believes like that. And I thank God for teaching me that. I thank God for protecting me. And I had a lot of opportunity to do some things and go some places and get out of some places I should have been in and get into places I shouldn't have been in. And God has always protected me. He's always watched over me. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua in chapter number 7. I'm going to take a story here out of the book of Joshua. And we'll look at it tonight. We'll look at Joshua and Achan, a very common story, one that I learned in Sunday school growing up. And then we'll jump over to the book of Ephesians afterwards and hopefully get something from the Lord tonight. Joshua chapter number 7, beginning in verse number 24. Pages are turning. It's in your Old Testament. Joshua chapter number 7, verse number 24. Your Bible says, "And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be in the Lord's house tonight. Lord, I'm undeserving of the salvation that you have given me. We're undeserving of the cross of Calvary. Lord, I pray that you would take this book, and I know that you will. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross and help somebody in this building tonight. I pray if somebody just needs to get saved, that they'd get saved. If they just need to get where they need to be with you, that they'd find a place tonight for that. Lord, if there be somebody in here tonight that is hurting, I pray that you'd give them comfort and give them peace. I can't do this on my own. I don't want to try to do this in my flesh, Lord. I pray that you'd fill me with the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost of God. It's in Jesus' sweet holy name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want to preach to you on this thought, what to do when you have an aching heart. When you've got a problem, when you've been through something that can nearly put you in depression. When I first started preaching, I was only 14 years old, and then I've been preaching 14, 15, 16 year old, and there's some things you can't preach until you go through something, and there's a lot of things I still can't preach because, you know, I'm not married, I don't have kids, I can't be preaching all that stuff. But one thing I can preach on now is what to do when you have an aching heart, what to do when your heart's broken. What to do when it feels like there's nowhere to go. What to do when it feels like almost like God has come against you and it feels like nothing makes sense. You don't have the answer to the problems. You don't know what to say. You don't know how to pray. I've been there. I say that with confidence. I've been in the position where all I could do was nearly sit there and weep and say, "Lord, why is this happening? Why does this happen? Why did it happen this way?" But let's look at Joshua here in this scripture. We all know the story. Achan. Just by way of introduction, Joshua is leading the children of Israel. He's taking them to the promised land. He's taking them to the Canaan land. And they've already fought one big battle, and they had a great victory at this point. And they were trying to move on forward, and all of a sudden God said, "Hey, when you go fight that battle, take nothing from the land of Jericho. Take nothing from there. But there's a man named Achan in the army of the children of God, and he chose to take something from Jericho. Therefore, the fierceness of God was turned against his people." And Joshua being the leader, Moses was dead. Moses had gone on to be with the Lord, and it was time for Joshua to lead the children of Israel onto the promised land. Amen.
And Joshua had to deal with the matter. Joshua had to handle it and do whatever God, whatever it was that God wanted him to do, whatever it was God had him to do in this situation. And when you really think about this story, you see, I learned this story in Sunday school, preacher, but when we really think about what he had to do, it'll break your heart. Achan, I would say, was Joshua's best friend. Achan took something from the land of Jericho. I'm going to try to be very plain tonight. Achan took something from the land of Jericho. Me and Brother Sam are friends, so it would be as if me and Brother Sam were fighting a fight together, and God said, don't do this, and I'm going to use you as the devil, all right? And he chooses to take something that God tells him not to take. And then God tells me I'm the one that has to punish him. I'm the one that has to deal with this. I'm the one that has to handle it. Why? Because God put me in charge of it. God chose for me to be the leader of it. You see, as Christians, we all have a place we're supposed to be. We all come into this situation at some point in one way or another. Achan was a man of royalty, Brother Barry. Achan was of the tribe of Judah. Read through the scripture back there. That means he was of royalty. He probably wore purple. I would say that he was a general in this army. I would say that he was one of the leaders helping Joshua decide which tactics to use, decide how they were going to fight the enemy. I would say everybody looked up to Achan. Everybody looked up to Achan and said, oh, he is with Joshua. Oh, he is standing with God. He is a man that is doing what is supposed to be done. And we trust him and we respect him, but he's done something God told him not to do. And he didn't choose to get it right on his own. Therefore, Joshua, his best friend, one that he fought battle with. Brother Tony, you were in the military. Wouldn't you say some of those men you were in the military with were closer to you in a way than anybody else? I would say Joshua and Achan were in this position. They were so close. They trusted each other with everything. And the Bible tells us what we just read was Joshua and the children of Israel took Achan down to this valley. So we've seen that there's a person of deceit. And that person is Achan. He chose to have wrong intentions. He acted as if he was doing exactly what was right, yet he had wrong intentions. He stole something from the land of Jericho. And Joshua has to take him down to this valley. This would be as if I had to take Brother Sam, and let's say Brother Sam and Miss Mackenzie Green here had some little children, and say their little children called me Uncle Lucas just because of how close me and Brother Sam were. I would say that Achan's kids looked up to Joshua like they were his, like that was their uncle. They loved him. They cared for him. That would be like me saying, all right, Sam and Mackenzie, I know she didn't make a mistake, but you did. Bring me and your little kids and bring everything that you own. And they took him down into this valley. And I can't even imagine taking my little niece. I've got a little niece. She's my best friend. I can't imagine having to take someone I'm so close to down to this valley. And as Joshua and the children of Israel pick up them stones to start throwing it at that family, I can just picture in my mind, we hear the story in Sunday school, but this is a devastating story. Achan is probably saying, no, Joshua, please don't kill my family. Just kill me. I'm the one that made the mistake. Leave my kids out of it. Leave my wife. Leave all that I have out of it. And Achan's little kids are saying, no, Uncle Joshua, please, please don't stone me to death. Please, please don't kill me. Please, please don't do this to me. This is a depressing story. This is a story we talk about so lightly. But Joshua had to take his best friend down into that valley and do what was right. Doing what was right is not always easy. I would say Joshua, after he stones his best friend and puts a pile of stones on top of him, I would say he instantly went into a state of depression. You can't convince me if I had to stone one of my church members to death, I wouldn't be depressed. This is the position that Joshua is in. This is a story we hear so often, but I hope tonight you get the reality of how serious this story is. Joshua is depressed at this point. He doesn't know what to do. I would say he went back to camp and he got in his tent and he sat down and he started crying. I don't know that, but I would say he laid down and he said, God, why did I have to do that? Why did I have to make this decision? But Joshua was a man of God. And Joshua did what he knew was right. I want to look at some things that Joshua did after he was in this state of depression. What to do when you have an aching heart. Get it? Aching's the one that he had to stone to death. What to do when you have an aching heart. Joshua's broken to pieces. He has had to stone his best friend. He has had to stone the man that has served beside him in the military, that has fought battle with him. And he had to stone his little nephews to death. What is he going to do? Have you been there? Have you been there? I've been there. I've been in the place where I've said, I don't want to do it. I don't want to get up and preach. I don't want to preach that meeting. I don't want to work at the church no more. I've been in that place. I've been in that place where things get so hard, things get so difficult. You see, Achan's chose to betray not only God, but he betrayed his best friend. I've been in the position where people I thought loved me turned on me. Don't have a care for me in the world. Don't have a care for me in the world. What to do when you have an aching heart? We see that Joshua, he's still trusting God. In chapter 8, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of the war with thee. Arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land." We see that God blesses Joshua and the children of Israel because Joshua did what was right. Because Joshua did something that put his physical emotions in depression, but his spiritual state had to have grown so much deeper with God through this situation. I would say when it's all said and done, after they fight the battle of Ai the second time, they lost the first time because the children of Israel were cursed because of what Achan did. But after they won the second time and Joshua takes the children of Israel and he takes them on where he promised he would take them, I would say the victory in his soul was so real. But before he got there, he had to go through something that broke his heart. He had to go through something that tore his world apart. People say the Bible's not interesting, Brother Tony. Could you imagine watching this story in a movie? But like really the way that it is in the Bible? We'd watch every story in the Bible if it was in a movie. This teaches us things. We see that Joshua chooses to trust God. Joshua still has fight in him. But Joshua's still got something inside of him that says, it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what I go through. It doesn't matter how hard it gets. There's something in him that makes it to where he won't quit. Preacher, I had a pastor tell me a couple years ago, he said, if you start the right way, you won't get out somewhere down the road. He said, if you start with God, you get saved by the blood of Jesus. You get real with God. You get full of the Holy Ghost of God. He said, if you do it the right way, there will be something inside of you that will make it to where you won't quit, even when you want to quit. Boy, was he right. Boy, was he right. I met with my preacher. I said, preacher, I want that. I want something different. I want something that's going to make me push on no matter what happens. No matter if I make a mistake, no matter if somebody else that I love makes a mistake, I want something in me that just keeps on fighting. We have people that have lost their fight because we get into a state of depression. We get into a state of struggle and of problems. And I'm not negating your problems, but I would say none of us have had to stone somebody to death. Joshua still had fight in him. He took the children of Israel back to Ai, and he fought that battle, and God gave him the victory. He was still trusting God. He still had fight in him, and he still worships God. In chapter number 8, verse number 30 and 31, you read that. Your Bible tells you that he built an altar before the Lord. Let's think about this. Joshua just stoned his best friend to death,
He's broken to pieces. He's hurting. He doesn't know what to do. And God says, all right, take that army now and go fight that battle. So he's fighting this battle with the children of Israel. And the whole time he's fighting, he's probably thinking, I don't want to do this anymore. I just had to kill my friend. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to study anymore, Brother Tony. I don't want to read my Bible anymore. I don't want to go to that church anymore. I don't want to be faithful anymore. I want to quit. I want to quit. That's where Joshua's at, friend. But what makes him a man of God is because he trusted God no matter what. What made him a man of God is because he started the right way and he had fight in him that made him fight no matter what. Yeah. And because he knew no matter what happened, worship is not through feeling, but it is through faith. Yeah. In his most broken position, preacher, Joshua builds an altar before God and says, I'll worship you. You just made me do something that broke my heart. You just made me do something that I knew I had to do. You just made me do something that broke me. But Lord, you've saved my soul. You've been worthy. You are worthy of my praise. Now this is an Old Testament story. I know dispensationally, we can't apply it to us. But turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 3. You can't tell me you can't apply this one to us. I taught in Sunday school a couple weeks ago to the teenagers. And I taught some of this to the teenagers. And as I sat at my house and sat alone by myself and looked over it over and over again, I realized how serious this is, how deep this can really get, preacher. Not that I'm overly smart by no means, but there's something here that I believe can help somebody in here tonight. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the pain and the suffering you have. I don't know the struggles and the problems and the trials. But I know I've been through some. I know that I've wanted to quit. I know that it's gotten to a point to where I didn't want to come back. I've been there. And I would beg to say some of y'all have been there. I would beg to say, with the amount of people in here tonight, there's some people probably deciding if this is the last time they're going to come to this church or not. But here in Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 13, the Bible says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations, for you which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see a unique prayer from the Apostle Paul here in Ephesians chapter 3. I believe this can help us when we are brokenhearted, when we get to a place where we want to quit, when we get to a place of struggle, when we get to a place of questioning God. And don't tell me you ain't been there, because we've all been there. We've all been to the place where we've said, God, why is this happening? Teenagers, if you ain't been there, you will be there. You'll get to a point where you say, God, why did this happen to me? And you need to remember Ephesians chapter number 3. Paul bows his knee. He starts praying and he says that he wishes, Brother Barry, that we faint not in this tribulation. He wishes that we faint not when it gets hard, when it gets trying. It's easy to faint when things get hard. It's easy to fall out by the way somewhere. You know how many people used to come to this church and they're off in the wilderness somewhere because things got hard and they dropped out somewhere by the way? You know how many people went faithfully to church all around Knoxville, Tennessee? Even the churches we disagree with a little bit, but they were faithful members and they did what they were supposed to and they lived the best they knew how, preacher. And they're off in the wilderness somewhere because they fainted. It got hot. It got weary. It got hard. It got difficult. Tribulation hit and they fainted. They fell out by the way somewhere. Joshua was in the position to faint. Joshua was in the position to give up on God. Joshua was in the position of saying, this isn't worth it. This isn't worth it. I know I did what's right, but this isn't worth it. Paul here tells us that he desires that we faint not. But I see some things that Paul prays for. And he's praying it for other people. And I believe this is a prayer that we should take into account to pray for ourselves. But not just to pray for ourselves, but to pray for the people we love. To pray for our pastor. Amen. to pray for the people that we go to church with, to pray for the people. I don't care if you like them or not. Amen. We need to love each other. I don't care if they hurt you. I don't care if they stabbed you in the back. I don't care if people have stabbed me in the back. People in here have hurt me. I'm talking about something we need to take into account tonight. Something we need to pray for everybody we go to church with. Get off the high horse tonight. You're not perfect, neither am I. I don't deserve to be standing here preaching to you tonight. Preacher, I'm a sinner. I've sinned. I've made mistakes. You want to crucify me for it? Crucify me for it. I've made mistakes. I don't deserve to be preaching. I've wanted to quit because of mistakes that I've made. And sometimes I want to quit because I've made mistakes and people love to just bring it up all the time. So get off your high horse tonight. I'm not better than any of y'all, and none of y'all are better than me. We're all sinners. We've all made mistakes. I don't care what you think about me. I'm trying to tell you something that comes from the Bible tonight. From the Word of God. Joshua's brokenhearted. Joshua chooses to trust God no matter what. Amen. Paul prays something for this church. And I pray that you pray this prayer for me, whether you like me or not. I pray that you pray this prayer for yourself to help yourself. And I promise I'll pray it for every one of you. And I mean that when I say it. If there's one thing my pastor has taught me, is that there is power in prayer. There is anointing in prayer. Prayer is not to be taken lightly, it's to be taken seriously. And I love to pray. And I learned that from my pastor. We see here some things that Paul prays for. The first thing he prays for in verse number 16, your Bible says, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. The first thing he prays for is that the spirit give you inner strength. Joshua's outward man and outward emotions wanted to quit, but there was something on the inside. He had something on the inside. You see, Brother Barry, I'm sure there have been times where you wanted to quit. Brother Roger, I'm sure there have been times where you've wanted to quit and give up on God, ain't there? Absolutely. I've been there, but there's something on the inside. And you know what we need to do? We need to pray that for each other. Amen. Pray that God strengthen you, Brother Barry, in your inner man. That God, the Spirit of God, would strengthen you. Yes, because the reality is there's some things that only God can fix for you. Amen. Only God can intervene. Only the Spirit of God can give you the strength for it. You're going to go through situations and trials where there's nothing, no amount of money is going to fix it, friend. No amount of friends is going to fix it. The new house isn't going to fix it. The new car isn't going to fix it. I learned a long time ago, money is materialistic in this world, and I'd rather have the joy of God. Amen. Paul prays that we be strengthened by the Spirit of God in our inner man. We need to pray that for each other. We need to pray that for our Sunday school teacher. We need to pray that for our deacons in this church. We need to pray that for our pastor, for the ministers, for the preachers in our church. We need to pray that for everybody that we go to church with. And if there's somebody you can't bring yourself to pray for, then you need to come to this altar tonight and get right with God. Not only does Paul pray that the Spirit give you inner strength, but he prays that the Son give you his inner love. In verse number 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now, love is not sex, friend. Love is not fornication. Love is God. Read your Bible. God is love. When you love somebody, you lay your life down for somebody. It is not just that intimate physical act, friend. Love is choosing to love and choosing to care for somebody. And Paul prays for us that the Son of God would give us that love. I believe it's not only that we feel it, but that we are so grounded in it that we love each other the way that we're supposed to. We're to love each other. Brother Crane, I love you. I love you in the Lord. And if you ever need anything, you call me, and I mean that. And I mean it. I don't just say it for words. I don't just say it for you to think I'm a nice guy. We are to love each other. I'm tired of seeing churches in America bicker and complain all the time, preacher.
Paul prays this prayer that we need to be praying for each other. Amen. We need to be praying for ourselves, that we be so grounded in love. Amen. That we be so grounded in love that God blows through this place and the Holy Ghost saves souls and we see people join the church. Amen. We need that love, church. We need that love. Do you have that love? Do you have this in the inner man of you? In the soul, in the spirit? Do you have that inside of you? Do you have something in you that makes it to where you can't quit? That's what Paul's praying for us, Brother Sam. He don't want us to quit. He don't want us to give up somewhere down the road. And we need to be praying that for each other. And then we see in verse number 19, and to know the knowledge of Christ, which passeth, that so that we know the love of Christ, with which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So we see that he prayed for the Spirit to give us strength in the inner man, that the Son give you his inner love, and that the Father give you his fullness. Amen. You know what beats knowledge? You know what beats biblical knowledge, preacher? To be full of God. I know too many men that know too much Bible. I know too many men that know more Bible than me. I'll admit it, they know more than me. But I'd rather have a close-knit walk with God. I'd rather God teach me how to help people and teach me how to do what's right and tell me when to say something and when not to say it. I would rather God tell me when to give somebody $20 and when to leave them alone. I would rather have God tell me when to pray for somebody than to know every doctrine in the Bible. I'm not negating knowing the Bible, Brother Tony. You know that. I love that King James Bible, and I believe it with everything in me. But sometimes we get so much knowledge that we don't get the fullness of God. The Bible right there tells us that it passeth knowledge. The fullness and that love of God, it goes beyond what our minds can comprehend. It goes beyond what we can tell ourselves and what we can tell people. We try to get in control of everything and take care of everything and do everything. Why don't you just sit down and talk to God? Why don't you just sit down and talk to God? Because your walk with God and getting full of God will do more for you than knowing everything there is to know. That's like an architect. That's like these engineers, Brother Sean. I work construction. And sometimes the engineers will come out on the job site and they'll tell me how to do something. And I'm thinking, you're too smart. It don't work like that. And he's like, oh, well, according to the plans, this, 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 and this. And I'm like, well, according to the plans, that ain't going to work. Yeah. We always alter the plans. The plans never work. Why? Because they have all the knowledge, but they've never been out there and put in the work. They've never been out there and done what they're supposed to do. You know what the problem is? We put so much knowledge in, but we don't take enough time to just be alone with God. We don't put enough time in to just be alone with God. I gotta hurry up. Paul has some burdens, and that's why he's praying this prayer. That's why he's bowed the knee for the church, for us. There's some burdens. He sees the burden in verse 16, 17, and 19. Like I just said, this is why he prays that, because he sees the need for the inward power of the Spirit in our life. He sees the need for us to have that power to push on. He sees the need that we cannot continue in this true walk of faith if God is not the one leading us. Amen. If God's not leading you, you're not in the will of God. Amen. He sees that we need the inward presence of Christ. This is my favorite one. The presence of Christ can be so real, yet 90% of Baptists have never experienced it. You got saved and that was it. Friend, you get some fellowship with God every now and again, and that'll change your life. Joshua had something in him where he wouldn't quit. You know what that is? That's the presence of Christ in his life. Amen. That's the presence of that person the preacher keeps telling us about. Salvation is the person, the person. You can have elements of truth, but the truth is the person. Amen. I don't care about the elements of truth. I don't care about all of this and all of that. I care about having the presence of that person in my life. And you know what happens when you have the presence of that person in your life? I'll tell you what happens. People will point at you and they will say, well, he did this once, he did that once. Well, she made this mistake once and she made that mistake once. Why? Because you got the presence of God in your life and they hate it because they don't have it. And half of y'all love this, but there's some of y'all that hate it. But the presence of God, it doesn't just make people look at us, preacher, and pick us apart, but it makes it to where I don't give a flip when they do it. That's a country cuss word, flip. It makes it to where I don't care what people say and what people think. You can try to destroy me, try to ruin me. Even if it works, I've got the presence of God so real in my soul. I've got the presence of God in here, preacher. It don't matter what happens. It don't matter what happens. Because he's so real to me. Is he real to you like that tonight? Do you have that presence inside of you? Is it that real? There have been times where, a preacher, it seems like I can't get a hold of him. It seems like I can't touch him. It seems like every prayer is hitting the ceiling and bouncing back down. And then out of nowhere, God brings the biggest blessing in my life. God brings me something that I never thought I would get. God gives me something and blesses me with something that I sure don't deserve. He's done it all my life. He's done it all my life. Paul is praying this so that we don't quit on God. Paul is praying this so that when we get in the position that Joshua was in, we don't just give up. And then we see that he knows the need for the inward principle of love. Love is not just the thing as the presence of God, but this love that God gives us is something that we are to live by. When you really love the church, it'll show in your actions. When you love the church, you'll love the people. When you love the people, you won't do anything to hurt the people. When you really love the people, you'll make sure the people that are getting hurt don't get hurt, whether they made a mistake or not. Amen. Let me be clear. It's not just loving who you want to love. It's loving everybody. Amen. You don't get to pick who you love. When God puts love inside of you, you love everybody. Amen. It don't matter what they did to you. It don't matter how much they hurt you. You love them because that's what God is supposed to be putting inside of you. We need that love, church. We need that love towards our pastor. We need that love towards our choir leader. We need that love towards everybody in this building tonight. You know what God can do if we loved each other like that? I hate coming into the church and looking at some people and knowing that they don't like me. I hate it. That bothers me. Like, why does it have to be that way? Why does it have to be that way? I hate sitting down with people and people telling me something somebody did to them or said to them. I hate that. Let me tell you something. When God puts the true love of God in you, you won't be doing stuff like that. You will build up the church. You will build up the church. You will lift high the name of Jesus Christ. That's that principle of love that we're missing. I'm missing it. I need to love better than I love, Brother Sean. There's some of y'all, it's harder to love you than it is to love the others. It's easy to love my pastor. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that man. It's easy to love the people that helped me in the youth. It's easy to love Miss Debbie, Miss Kathy, Miss Brittany, and Brother Chris back there because we're close and we do things together. It's easy to love them, but some of y'all, it seems like all you do is just cause problems. Is that not the Baptist church, preacher? That's what it is. But I promise you, I love you. I love you. Preacher told me from this pulpit when he was preaching my ordination service and he was preaching the charge. And I was thinking, I hope he gets real fired up and start hopping on one leg and get going. I didn't need all that. God showed up. And preacher looked at me and he said, God's going to do something different for you today. He said, after we lay our hands on you, God's going to change you. I can tell you one thing I know for a fact has changed. I love the church 10 times more than I loved the church a couple months ago. I love the church way more than I loved the church before I got ordained. I don't know what it was. I don't know exactly what did it. But I guess when the preacher and Brother Roger and Brother Barry laid their hands on me and prayed for me, God put some love in me that ain't nobody taken out of me. When I love you, I love you. Preacher, I love you. I'll do anything for you. I die for you. That's God type love, friend. That's God's love. God's love is real love. This world has ruined what love is. They think it's the act of being physical. They think it's doing whatever it is they do in their life. Friend, love is choosing somebody no matter what. Teenagers, I love y'all. I will choose you. I don't care what mistake you make. I don't want you to make them, but it don't matter what mistake you make. This is a safe place for you. Amen. You come here and you tell me, I won't judge you and I won't let nobody else judge you. Amen. That's the love of God that we need, friend. Amen. Paul asks for a lot here in Ephesians 3. He asks for a lot. He's asked for God to strengthen us. He's asked for God to give us something. And then he's asked for God to fill us up with something. That's a lot of spiritual asking. That's a lot of spiritual food he's asking for. But why does he know he can ask God for it? It's because he knows that the impossible is possible with God. He knows that it don't matter the trial. It don't matter the circumstance. It don't matter the situation. God can handle it. There have been things in life that I've prayed for and thought it ain't never going to happen. God ain't never going to fix this. God ain't never going to handle this. And before I know it, God does the impossible. Why? Because he's God. And because he's good like that. And because he treats me better than I've ever deserved. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God that's been broken and defeated. And I opened my Bible to Ephesians 3 and remember that Paul prayed this for me. And it reminds me that there's something inside of me that makes it to where I can't quit. This helps us do some things. I'm going to jump through all the rest of the notes and get to the end here. Sorry, Brother Johnny, you'll have to make another CD this time. This helps us do some things in our Christian life. In verse number 20 of Ephesians 3, your Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." That's all that stuff that's in us. Man, there's so much to go through here, preacher. It's so thick and it's so good. It brings me to tears, but I don't have time to go through every bit of it. But that thing that is in us, that person that is living inside of us, he can do above and beyond what we can ask or ever even think of. He has that power. He has that ability. That's why it doesn't matter what happens in this world. It doesn't matter what happens on this earth. That thing, that person that is living inside of us should make it to where we keep on pushing on. Right. Focus on the person and on not all the people. And friend, you'll keep moving for God. Yes, don't get sidetracked with the people. Focus on the person and you'll keep moving on. Amen. Paul asks for so much. He knows that God is capable of giving it to him. In verse 20, it helps us give us a direction for our worship. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I don't know about you, but I'm able to worship God when I think about all the things he's able to do. When I think about the miracle of him saving my soul, by God, I don't care what nobody thinks. I thank God for that. I'll shout that on all night. I'll stand up here and shout for 40 minutes. Thank God I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, friend. When you think about what God can do for you, you'll worship God. Amen. You won't be ashamed to say, praise his holy name. Amen. You won't have to see something miraculous happen to say, praise his holy name. Amen. Joshua worshiped him in a state of depression. Ha. Abraham worshiped him on the mountain about to kill his son. Job worshiped him after all his family had died. All of his job was gone. All of his money was gone. And he chose to worship God. You think about what God can give you, you ought to worship God. Amen. You ought to thank God for what he's done in your life. Amen. It helps us find out where our confidence is. Paul says, Lord, give this and give that and give this and give that. And it seems like so much and it seems like so much, but it's not a selfish prayer, Brother Barry. Right. He don't pray it for himself. He prays it for everybody else. He don't say, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. We're too selfish. Right. That's why we don't have the love of God. You're selfish. We only think about ourselves. Paul prays for everybody else, and he prays, why? Because he's confident that God can do it. I hope most of the people in this building tonight have that kind of confidence in God. I know there's prayers that I've prayed for years, and there have been times where I thought, it ain't going to happen. God ain't going to do it. God ain't going to do it. And then as soon as he does it, you know what that tells me? I've got confidence in God. I got confidence in God. It helps us find where our confidence is supposed to be. It gives us the right gratitude. We're so materialistic. Why does the church not love the way it's supposed to love? Because we don't care about people. We care about stuff. We don't care about each other. We care about what's happening.
Right, that's it.
We care about how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that. We care about getting this and getting that and being here and being there. Why don't you just get right with God and start loving people? You know the best time to decide to get the love of God in you is when you're depressed. When you're at that lowest point and you do what Paul did and you pray for something that seems impossible. God gives you that and all of a sudden you're able to do things that you never would have been able to do on your own. Trust God, church. I hope you're trusting God tonight. I hope you have that love tonight. This went a lot different than I thought it would. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be in the Lord's house tonight. Lord, I pray that you would convict the hearts and the souls of the people in this building. Lord, you know that I had a burden on my heart. You know that I feel free. But Lord, I pray that people would respond to your spirit. I pray that people would respond to what you have to say to them tonight. That we would not just sit here and leave, but that we would do something to make our fellowship with Christ closer than it is right now. I love you, Lord. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for the cross of Calvary. I thank you for my church. Have your will and your way. It's in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.